Victory Through Faith, the Baptist Hour, presented by the Radio Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention in cooperation with the Southern Religious Radio Conference. To meet the difficulties of business or profession or career successfully. But we are baffled by the problems of life's inner circle. For example, many of us do not have the key that will open the way to happiness in our own family relationship. Today's program would seek to help you succeed in life, even within the sacred precincts of your own home.
Our Father who art in heaven, how grateful we are that we can come before thee, the great God of heaven and earth, and call thee Father, that we can claim a Father's love and care and concern. Thus we do come this morning with our weakness and our wickedness, praying for thy forgiveness. Thus we come with our suffering, our sorrow, and our disappointment, praying for thy healing, thy comfort, thy courage, and thy strength. O Father, this is no perfunctory prayer. We need thee desperately today. Match our need with the strength of thy presence, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
All of thee.
This is the second in a series of four messages by Dr. Duke K. McCall of Nashville, Tennessee, on the theme, Faith Meets Life's Tests. And you are pleased, I'm sure, that in his four messages, Dr. McCall is enriching our lives with eternal truth, which comes to us through four of God's great men of history, namely Isaiah, or When the World Goes Wrong, last week, Amos, or When Religion Fails, next week, and Jeremiah, or When God Commands the Difficult, the following week. A printed copy of today's message may be had free by writing this station. We now hear Dr. McCall on the subject, When Human Love Deserts. Dr. McCall.
First, this 30-second report of special interest to our Southern Baptist listeners as well as to others on our $1 million a month appeal for world relief and rehabilitation. A small rural church with 86 members is leading Southern Baptist in per capita giving. The Pitts Creek Baptist Church, Pocomoke City, Maryland, has already given over $1,200 or $15 for each member. The Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church of Atlanta reported last week that its members had reached the $25,000 goal they adopted. If every church does as well in proportion, we will soon reach our goal. Hate spent extravagantly on the war. Love will give generously to rebuild the world in Christ's name. Pastor, deacon, friend, will you see that your church helps us secure the $750,000 we must have to go over our goal by October 1st? Now on the theme, Faith Meets Life's Test, we're thinking this morning of when human love deserts. The personal experience of the prophet Hosea is one of the most painful, pitiful, poignant stories in all the Bible. Other prophets were ignored, doubted, driven from their homes, and persecuted. Tragedy struck Hosea, however, nearest to his heart, in his home, among his loved ones. Most of us can stand the stress and strain as long as our loved ones stand by. A mother's hand on the fevered brow of her child brings more peace and courage than the presence of the greatest physician. A wife's radiant, "I think you're wonderful," will send a husband back to the battlefield of business life with the strength of 10. An affectionate hug from that same husband will transform a household plagued with dirty dishes, dusty floors, and crying children into a lovely home. The near tears of desperation can be turned into stars in the eyes of most of us by those whom we love and who love us. But oh, when they fail, when they desert us, no stars can shine in the sky. No joy bells can ring in any steeple. Every song is transposed into a minor key. It was about 750 years before the birth of Christ that Hosea, a young man, began his dynamic ministry among the people of the northern kingdom of Israel. With his impatience of evil, he denounced the sins of his day. To him, Jehovah was a God of righteousness and wrath. Would God, more ministers in our day could see the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There is a place for preaching like that. The preaching which has provoked every great revival has been characterized by a presentation of the sovereignty and glory and righteousness of God over against the sin, the iniquity, the rebellion of the hearts of men. But Hosea fell in love. The queen of his heart was Gomer Bath Diblaim. That isn't such a terrible name. The Hebrew word Bath means daughter of Diblaim. The word Gomia means perfection. But Hosea would have thought even that an understatement as he gazed into the eyes of his beloved Gomia. Soon their love nest for two was rearranged to accommodate three, for a son was born. Jezreel was his name. And Hosea thought, trailing clouds of glory did he come from God who is his home. Then it was that dark clouds began to gather. The neighbors began to gossip. And Hosea's cherry songs were replaced with heavy sighs. There were dark rumors that Gomia was unfaithful to her prophet husband. A daughter was born, but there was no celebration. Hosea clenched his hands and tightened the muscles of his jaw as he named her Lo-Ruhamah, meaning she that never knew a father's love. She was an orphan, not by her father's death, but by her mother's sin. Another son was born, and poor, heart-sick Hosea named him Lo-Ami, meaning no kin of mine. For over 4 years, Hosea came home to be greeted with evidence of his wife's faithlessness. The divorce courts of his day were at his disposal. The Mosaic law provided a writ of divorcement. Hosea's marriage, however, was not founded on infatuation or surface attraction, but that deep affection which means for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, in sorrow and in joy, in plenty and in want, till death do us part. Perhaps it was Gomer's religion which broke up her home at last. The worst of immoralities were not only sanctioned by, but practiced in the name of the Baal worship of her day. Many scholars think that Gomer's unfaithfulness grew out of her worship of the god Baal. Strange, isn't it, that religion could ever contribute to the breaking up of a home? Yet misunderstandings over religion are one of the causes of divorce in our day. It isn't a pleasant subject, but a recent study of 12,000 homes nailed this warning signal to the mast of the ship of matrimony. Where both parents were Catholic, out of every 1,000 homes, 64 homes were broken by divorce. Where both of the parents were Protestant or evangelical, out of every 1,000 homes, 68 were broken. Alas, where one of the parents was Protestant and the other Catholic, 152 out of every 1,000 marriages have been dashed to pieces on the rocks of misunderstanding. Religion, which should be one of the assets of every marriage, had become a liability. A marriage between a Protestant and a Catholic has more than twice as many probabilities of ending in a divorce court than a marriage between individuals of the same faith. Let me hasten to add, however, that this same survey showed that where the ratio of divorces in the case of mixed marriage was 152 per 1,000, of divorces among those of no religion, the ratio was 167 per 1,000. A home founded upon both Catholic and Protestant convictions, with all of the attendant problems and dangers, is still more certain than a home where the only God is human desire. While Gomer followed her false God, and her false lover, Hosea sat in misery, pondering the kind of love in his heart which would not die, even when the one loved was unworthy, was unworthy, was unworthy, was unworthy. In his clumsy, masculine manner, he sought to take care of the three children while keeping faith with his prophetic commission. Where was it the thought struck him? Was it in the midst of a message on the judgment of God that he suddenly realized that love does not desire to judge? Was it while taking care of his children that he recognized that God goes on performing the acts of love even when his own creatures care for him no longer? Was it while musing beneath a Syrian moon, as memory raced across the happy hours with Gomer, that the voice of Jehovah spoke to Hosea's heart, saying, I love my wayward people and want them back as much as you want Gomer to come back? Suddenly Hosea stands up. Wrapping his robes about him, he sets off with the determined step of a man with a purpose. His love takes him to the slave market, there to barter his bank account, 15 pieces of silver and 12 bushels of barley, for a woman whose lover had sold her into slavery. It was Gomer, of course. What a message on the wages of sin she would have for you and me today, and especially for those who play fast and loose with their marriage vows. To be sure, she had forfeited every claim upon Hosea's love. To be sure, she had canceled every obligation upon his care. But love does not count cost. Love is concerned only with reclaiming the lost. Hosea had found something within himself which transcended even his sense of justice. He saw in his love for Gomer a reflection of God's love for his people. He found in God's willingness to restore those whom he loves to a position of glory an example of how love must act. Hosea is known among the prophets of the Old Testament as the preacher of God's love. His life, however, ties together God's love for you and me with our love of those who have failed us. The message of the book of Hosea is God's willingness to forgive, and more, it is the message of God's purpose to ransom, even at the price of his Son, those who have turned their back on him in sin. There is no better way for us than that which God has chosen for dealing with those who have played false with him. To lash out and strike back at those whom we love who have hurt us is the height of folly. The life of Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian novelist, was a tragedy, and the cause of the tragedy was his love. It would take a long time to recount all of his failures and faults. Certainly, he was no bargain at the marriage altar. When his wife found how far short he fell of her ideals, she began to complain and scold and get even. She threw herself into fits of hysteria. Sometimes she rolled on the floor with a bottle of opium at her lips, swearing that she was going to kill herself. Finally, when Tolstoy could endure the tragic unhappiness of his home no longer, he fled from his wife on a snowy October night in 1910, fled into the darkness with nowhere to go. 11 days later, he died of pneumonia in a railway station. His dying request was that his wife should not be permitted to come into his presence. As a husband, Tolstoy was a failure. But what about his wife? In the face of his failure, she forgot her love and poured out the bitterness of her soul upon him like acid. Maybe she had sufficient provocation, but that is beside the point. The question is, did not her action make bad matters infinitely worse after it was too late? Countess Tolstoy said herself, "I really think I was insane." How misery is multiplying in many homes today. Husbands and wives fling back and forth at each other bitter words. At last, many of them seek to settle their differences in the divorce courts, but only succeed in sealing the bitterness in their hearts. Last year in the divorce courts, almost 700,000 Americans announced their failure to build a happy home, and the number is climbing. What is the source of this tragedy? Well, the court records give various causes, but ultimately, each of these causes can be traced to one great cause, selfishness. The only antidote for selfishness is love like that which caused God to pay Calvary's price for unworthy people. Not only are husband and wife failing each other in our present civilization, but children are increasingly breaking the hearts of their parents as crime mounts in our land at the rate of 13% each year. We are shocked to realize that one out of every four arrests made each day is some young person. Arrests of girls under 18 increased 200% in the last 6 years. What a tragic record the mothers of tomorrow are writing today. While distraught parents wring their hands in anguish, it might be worthwhile to remember that it was sowing the wind in the 1920s which brought the whirlwind up today. The young people who sow the tears of their parents today will water their pillars with rivers of tears in the tomorrows. What to do about it? That is the question. The churches of Jesus Christ have an answer which has stood the test of 2,000 years. It begins where Hosea began, with each of us contemplating God's love, which issues in a new character for us. It ends with our pressing the claim of God's love on that wayward son or daughter. Like David of old, when the news of the tragic death of his son was brought to him, millions of American parents are crying, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee." The tragedy is that Jesus Christ did die for them, but we have been too busy looking after their social and intellectual and economic interests to tell them that. Tell them today. Take them to the Sunday school and church where the news of the abundant life in Christ is preached. Take them this morning. The only refuge when human love deserts or fails is the God who goes on loving and giving and trying to win back the beloved. The greatest help when human love deserts is the power of God to work within the life of the wayward one. We have been fooling ourselves by trying to solve the problems arising from the weakness of human love in the divorce courts. We have been betraying our trust by committing the tragedies of juvenile delinquency to the officers of the law. We have but probed a festering wound by trying to hurt those we love more than they can hurt us. Where can I find words that would make you stand this hour in the presence of God, feel the throb of his love for you, count the cost of his reclaiming you? That alone will change any of us and remove those irritating and inconsiderate actions which rub salt into the sores of human relations. Faith in a loving Father will save, remake you and me. Faith in the power of God to save, remake our loved ones will send us out this morning to woo and win them back, at last God's love will be balm for our broken hearts. Oh, Hosea, come again and tell this people about the loving God whom you found in the midst of your heartbreak. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Was Dr. Duke K. McCall on the subject When Human Love Deserts, the second of four messages on the general theme Faith Meets Life's Test, a copy of which may be had free by sending your postal card request to the Baptist Hour in care of this station. Same time next week and over the same station, we continue the Baptist Hour series, Faith is the Victory. Dr. Duke K. McCall brings the third of this series of four messages. Announce his subject, When Religion Failed, in Bible School and in the worship services of your church. This program, presented by the Radio Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, in cooperation with the Southern Religious Radio Conference, as a contribution to the religious life of America, is broadcast as a public service feature by 40 independent stations on a network extending from Maryland to the states of the far Southwest. The Baptist Hour originated in the studios of Religious Radio Center, Atlanta, Georgia. Your announcer, Ward Adams. Independent Network.